Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody? This is AJ. This is 107 Live. This is AJ coming to you live from the web, from parts unknown. That's right. Parts unknown. Well, this is the Us Versus Them show. The reason why we call it the Us Versus Them show, I've just noticed a lot of things in the media lately involving, you know, when I say us versus them, I mean when a white athlete or white actor or actress or personality says something, it's seen one way. It's seen as good or it's seen as edgy or whatever. But if another personality does it, who just happens to be of, I don't know, minority persuasion, black, Latino, or Asian, those very same things will be looked at in a negative light or seen in another way. So, first we're going to talk about, you know, the media, the biggest problem we have is that the media likes to, the media shapes and molds everything, whether it be headlines, public opinion about other subjects, opinion about people, how we see things. I mean, the media controls pretty much everything. Media shapes and molds everything. The media is the main entity responsible for the stereotypes that we have visually for each other. You know what I'm saying? As a black male, I mean, if somebody is to look at me when I'm in regular street clothes, like right now, I'm in jeans, a polo shirt, and Timberland boots with a wool cap on my head, you know what I'm saying, and a black leather jacket. If someone was to see me on the street, they're automatically going to assume that, hey, this guy may be a troublemaker. You know what I'm saying? But once I open my mouth and start speaking to people, that opinion tends to change. The media has created a narrative or a public opinion concerning African American males, and in that. You really can't control how people see you. Now, as far as let's talk entities and personalities in entertainment. Okay, Let's talk comedians. Let's use Cat Williams, Chris Rock, Eddie Griffin. You know, let's use them as an example. Okay, those guys are very edgy, controversial comedians that don't pull punches on any subject, especially the subject of race. Now, whenever they are talking or voicing their opinion about something, it is always scrutinized. And I'm just trying to figure out, okay, why is their opinion scrutinized when all they're really doing is telling the truth from the African-American side of things? Now, for the fact that these comedians are African-American, their comedy, viewed through the majority eyes, their comedy is viewed as either vocal, I mean, it's either viewed as vulgar, racist, or it's seen as, you know, it's not, or they see it as not very funny. Now, you take a stand-up comedian like, I mean, okay, not just a stand-up comedian or actor. Let's just, like, even on using those same subjects and same premises. Adam Sandler, Will Ferrell. Well, not necessarily Will Ferrell, but let's just say a comedian with an edgy personality, like an Adam Sandler, or a Dane Cook, or, you know, an Adam Sandler or a Dane Cook. All right. If any one of those guys talk about race, it's automatically seen as funny. You know what I'm saying? It's not seen as vulgar. You know, that's one of the things that has caused a lot of problems. That's one of the things that has caused a lot of problems, you know, just not just within the media, but within the country. It just seems like there's a different set of rules for everybody. You know what I'm saying? If you're black, Latino, or Asian, there is almost a different set of rules for you. Now, there really almost is a different set of rules for each group. Period. The only difference is Asians aren't really feared per se. Asians aren't, you know, they're not seen as a quote unquote physical threat, you know what I'm saying? But, however, it's just something that it's very, very true. They're not seen as a physical threat. Nobody is threatened by the Asians, but yet and still, black people are perceived as very, very threatening. And how is it blacks are seen as threatening individuals, even in everything? Blacks are seen as threatening individuals on every side of the token. Now, because the media has the ability to look at change public opinion on different things. Now, according to Department of Justice statistics on race and violent crime, crimes that are white on white, the percentage in this country is at 56%. 56%. We're just talking, you know. Now, people are quick to say, oh, well, black on black crime is higher. Ooh, this is crime, the crime on a specific group is always going to be higher against that specific group. On the other hand, violence per capita is higher on average, white people have a violent, higher percentage of violence than blacks or Hispanics. And that's statistics. That's Department of Justice. But yet and still, African Americans are seen as quote unquote, violent or more violent. I don't agree with that statement. I do not agree with the, I don't agree with it at all. Now, let's go to now back to the us versus them thing. Okay, recently Channing Tatum went on a show called Lip Sync Battle. He gets on camera, does a full routine of Beyonce, got in wig. I mean, pretty much went full drag and teamed up with Beyonce for a routine, and America ate it up. But yet and still, if a black man does a regular routine, if a black comedian does something regular, it's not seen as funny. But until he puts on a dress, you know what I'm saying? Until that black man puts on a dress, oh, then it's funny. You know what I'm saying? It's a different set of rules. It's a different set of rules. And it's sad that in entertainment, you know, it's almost like we can't do enough to satisfy the masses. We can't be funny on our own. We can't be funny on our own. That's pretty much what they're saying. That's pretty much what the powers that be are saying. Oh, we can't be funny on our own. We have to have help. We have to jump in. We have to jump in dresses. You know what I'm saying? Dave Chappelle said it best himself in an interview in the Actors Studio. You know, they tried to get him to put on a dress. He vehemently said he was not going to do it. It's like, Dave, you got to do the bit. You got to put on a dress. You got to do this bit. It's funny. Da da da. Dave said, no, I'm not putting on a dress. As soon as they saw he wasn't budging, within 20 minutes, a new script was written out. But, and Dave Chappelle, the very, very, very intelligent individual, he was like, oh, snap. Okay. It took me standing my ground for them to get, I wasn't going to get an address. That was messed up. That was messed up. If you want to call in and weigh your opinion, call in at 323-417-6807. 323-417-6807. You know, feel free to call in and chime in anytime. I have, staying on the entertainment side right now, even as far as women are concerned. Now, Beyonce gets a pass when it comes to dancing. Beyonce gets a pass for, you know, doing, she's an excellent performer. I will give her that. You know what I'm saying? Beyonce, you know, she can actually dance. Now, she does her fair amount of twerking, but nobody says anything. Now, you know, because Beyonce is that media darling. Now, let someone like Nicki Minaj or Lil' Kim do what Beyonce does. Oh, she's nasty. She's tasteless. There, she's this. She's that. Da 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 da. I mean, they said this back when, you know, Lil' Kim back in the day when she was Junior Mafia and she would dance. Lil' Kim can dance. She can legitimately dance. Now, here's the thing. Miley Cyrus gets in somebody's video and twerks at the end, and it is so cute. Now, it's fashionable for white girls to quote-unquote twerk. Now, To be totally honest, I really do not the fact that if my, okay, let's just say, you know, I'm engaged, the woman I'm getting ready to marry, she has two daughters. Okay, I'm just saying, hypothetically speaking, let's just say we're out in the park having fun at a family reunion, and my daughter's favorite song come on, and she's just throwing her butt back, twerking. Now, me, personally, I'd be like, whoa, no, not here. No, don't do that. Me, personally, knowing what I know historically, you know, the African American, the woman, that's how we danced back in Africa. But see, the powers that be in the media takes what they believe is dancing and plaster it to the masses through different media outlets and everything. Oh, that's not dancing. That's just black club stuff. Da 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 da. Now, whenever National Geographic has filmed African traditions in a village, usually they have some type of dance involved. And normally when you see what we call twerking, it's usually some type of ceremony. It's usually some type of ceremony involved. You know what I'm saying? The narrative is changed by the media. You know what I'm saying? If a Caucasian personality does something, it's fashionable. If the black personality does it, it's tasteless. It's vulgar. It's okay for Miley Ray Cyrus to twerk in a video, but if a Lil' Kim or Nicki Minaj or a Ciara does it, oh, she's tasteless. It's crazy. It's a different narrative. Okay, Justin Bieber gets in trouble with the law. He's a misguided kid. Okay? Bow Wow gets in trouble with the law, or Tyga or whoever, they're viewed as a thug. You know what I'm saying? But Justin Bieber is a misguided kid? You know what I'm saying? I don't get it. Muslim kid builds a clock with random household parts. Oh, he's a terrorist. He's building a bomb. A white kid builds a quote-unquote fusion reactor. He gets funding from the government. Twisted narrative. Let's take it to sports. Okay. It's very funny how the media gravitates towards professional athletes. On the sports side of things, everything you do really, at the end of the day, boils down to your personality. Now, I'm going to use one of my favorite personalities in sports, especially in football, Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn Lynch played his college ball. He's from Oakland, California. Has a family first charity. You know what I'm saying? He stays to himself. He doesn't want to be burned, quote unquote, burned by the media. He does not want to be seen in negative light, so he stays to himself. Now, Marshawn Lynch being part of the NFL, the NFL requires him to speak to the public before and after games. You know, and Marshawn, like I said, Marshawn is one of those people, he's not necessarily used to being in the media. He doesn't like to talk to the media. because he knows how the media spins and turns things around. That's why he'd much rather stay to himself. He's very, very selective as far as media is concerned. He's very, very selective. Now, many people who are football fans, traditional quote-unquote football fans, have gone as far as to say, oh, he's just an ungrateful, spoiled thug, high-paid thug. Now, how would you feel if an incident that happened years ago is constantly brought up in your face and the media in that particular town burns you? You get sent to another town, people still want to bring it up years later. Okay? That is the reason why Marshawn is the way that he is. Now, let's talk about Tom Brady. Tom Brady is viewed by the average NFL fan and even some players as a squeaky, clean, fiery competitor. Okay? You know, he says things, and people just eat it up. And people never really, there are clips of Tom Brady talking trash in games to his opponent. There are. And Richard Sherman, the year Seattle went to their first Super Bowl and ended up playing Denver, when they played New England that season and beat New England, you know what I'm saying? They obviously had words throughout the whole game. And they had been trash talking the whole game. And at the end of the game, Richard Sherman hit Tom Brady with the famous quote, "You mad, bro?" Because that incident took place between Richard Sherman and Tom Brady. Tom Brady is, he's the golden boy. He's a squeaky clean golden boy. Because it was Tom Brady, the media had him labeled as the victim. Because Richard Sherman is the confident, overconfident, cocky cornerback with dreads hanging out his head. People immediately labeled him a thug. Now, my whole thing is, if you really base what he does on the field, that, you know, that's his style of play. And the other thing is, the general public doesn't understand trash talk. Trash talk is a mental head game to get people off of their game. And trash talk extends way far past football. Basketball, baseball, hockey. I mean, playing the dozens, cracking and joning on each other on the street corner. You know, trash talk goes far beyond. Friends trash talk each other. But yet and still, when this guy does it to Tom Brady, he's labeled as a good thug. Now, what the media doesn't want to tell you is that Richard Sherman is one of the few people in the National Football League that graduated from Stanford with a bachelor's degree and a master's degree, with a very, very high GPA of probably 3.7, 3.8, and a member of a fraternity. Mm-hmm. Now, this man has a bachelor's degree and a master's, and is one of the top players in the top American Football League in the world. And you call him a thug, called out one of the greatest, quote-unquote, greatest quarterbacks in the league, and pretty much got in his head, you're going to label him a thug because he got this man off his game? I think that's very, very important. I think that's very, very ignorant. And I think that's a false statement. I think the media, people should know, like, before people form an opinion or a stereotype, they need to do their research first. People always want to base everything off of a look, and then they want to take something the media has put out and then attach it to it. That's backwards. Do your research first. It's, and you know, with the media has different rules for different people, and it's based on your color and your personality. If you're black and they like you, then the media is kind of going to give, they're kind of going to put a hedge around you and a label to you. Perfect example. Russell Wilson is probably one of the few African American quarterbacks that has, that really isn't scrutinized real bad. And part of the reason is because he has a personality that everybody loves. Now, Cam Newton, on the other hand, he's young, he's vibrant, full of energy. And everybody wants to complain about everything he does. Now, he's a very celebratory young man. If he throws a touchdown pass, he's going to celebrate. If he runs it in, he's going to celebrate. If his team is winning, he's going to celebrate. What does he do when he celebrates? He dances. Now, how is it that anytime he does something, the media has to make a big story out of it? I don't think that's fair. But yet and still, if Gronk scores a touchdown and spikes the ball to the end zone, nobody says a word. Why is he spiking the football? Why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? Why is Odell Beckham whipping and nay-naying after every touchdown? The media is responsible for all stereotypes. Well, we're coming close to the end of the show. We will continue this subject on a later show. It's very, very random. But, yes, remember, this is 10-7 Live. I'm AJ. But feel free to email me at 107live@gmail.com. The number 10, 7, SEVESUEN, @gmail.com. Until next time, stay awake, stay alert, stay alive, be cool, be blessed. And I will talk to you later. Man, this was a good show. And have a couple articles coming out, a few books coming out. And if I know in a short time, I will also get back to working on my album. Please keep your eyes out and ears open for my album. It's called God, the Groove, and the Journey, Genesis Volume 1. That's the name of the album. It's not the gospel album, but it's different. All the songs on the album, most of the songs on the album are originals. I only have a few covers. But as far as everything that's original, totally different styles, a lot of fusion. Jazz, gospel, Latin, go-go, house, a little bit of everything. But until next time, see you guys later. 10-7 Live. Peace out, baby.